our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. Overall, was he the best player in the game, or was it Moncada for you? You know, the off-field stuff where he stabbed a guy, and, you know, I get all that.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Willy Adames, I'll say...
Johnny Peralta.
Get out of here with that nonsense.
Being Arizona Diamondback roster white doesn't mesh well with the sun.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
I just won't believe fully yet.
Pick a date and time and location, and I'm going to fight you. Pick it. Because I really like Benintendi.
And you're not alone.
We are Friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to episode 132 of the Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast. I am your host, Mike Werner. You can reach me on Twitter, at Mike Werner, FWFB. And with me is our lead prospect analyst, Matt Thompson. Matt, what it is, man?
Not too much, man. How you doing?
Doing well. We were obviously off last week due to 4th of July. How was your 4th, sir?
Good, man. Still trying to shake this sunburn. It's been like freaking 2 weeks. But I guess it's like I'm too pale to go outside in the heat, I guess, and... Can't even turn the neck now. I got to rotate the shoulders.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same. So I that's why I just don't go outside very much, at least not for a very long time. I mean, I'll go out to the ballpark, but I won't. I usually wear a lot of sunscreen because.
Oh man, I'm the idiot that goes to the game and I have to put on that baby sunscreen because being Arizona Diamondback roster white doesn't mesh well with the sun.
So. Nice. Well, we've obviously had some stuff happen in the minor league landscape over the last week or two. A few side notes. We've seen Josh Bell in the major leagues, which has been nice in the limited samples that we've seen. Tyler Glass now finally got his promotion. I mean,
Trey Turner's back.
Yes, Trey Turner is back. He is well, I guess, for as long as he stays up.
AJ Reed hitting? Not really. Actually, he's not at all. He's got a lot of happenings there. So we'll see.
Yes, but what we are going to do an episode here on the futures game, which I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably watched. If you didn't, then hopefully you DVR'd it or can find a way to catch up on it, because I honestly was more excited about this than I am the All-Star game, which, you know, if you're listening to this now, is going to be today, I believe. And just a really exciting group of talent. We saw a couple of guys that really showed why they have such high pedigree and why they are such highly rated in the prospect landscape here. And then we all have a couple other guys that we thought were snubbed, a couple other guys that really didn't make a big impact. But overall, it was a really good game just to watch what the future holds for us as baseball fans and as fantasy owners. So a lot to talk about.
Yeah, it's a definitely – you can't really judge too much from watching the game, like overall skills, but what it does, what this game does the best is it emphasizes the tools, and I'm a tools guy, so it's so fun for me to watch.
That's right, you are a tool, and I agree with that.
Yeah, fair enough. I walked into that one. I'll take it.
Yeah, and I'm terrible at jokes, so you definitely walked into that.
But, oh, good, man.
Let's start off, we'll start off with the MVP of the Futures game and a guy that I think is the unanimous top prospect in all of baseball, certainly the unanimous top fantasy prospect as well, and that's Yoan Moncada.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's not much to really say here. I mean, he did get the promotion up to AA. He's done well. We have seen advancements in his plate skills. We've seen advancements pretty much across the board. He's showing us that, at least in fantasy, he can certainly be a five-category contributor for us. And, I mean, in the Futures game alone, we saw him hit the long home run. I mean, just a massive shot. I don't know what the exact feat was on it, but he hit it in the eighth inning. He did it from the right side as well, which he's actually not as good on. But, I mean, it was a mammoth shot. It was
crazy.
So, I mean, there's not much analysis to give here, but my real stance here is that when big-time players, have a big-time performance on a national stage like this, it's really exciting because it shows me that he's ready for the big time. Is he going to get a promotion this year? No, He's not. And
no.
I mean, for us fantasy owners, we can't bank on that. But at least for the future, I think if you own Moncada, I mean, we've seen encouraging signs all year. But at least to watch him do that in the futures game has to be nothing but encouraging. Any extra thoughts, Matt, on this?
He looks, I mean, it's hard to be, hard to say an amateur like that's worth the investment, but he looks worth it to me. I mean, watching him play. I got MILB TV this couple weeks ago, and I've been watching him play a lot of games, and he's got that smooth stroke. I mean, as you saw during that game, and he's a very, very special player. And we kind of talked a little bit earlier. I think you can put realistic outcome for Moncada is I think you can go 60s across the board, all five tools, and I think you can throw a 70 on the hit tool now. And I think as he progresses and matures and gets bigger and stronger, I think the speed might dip to about a 50, which is still average. But I think he could be looking at a guy with a 70 hit, 70 power with average speed. That's a monster.
Yeah, I agree. Now, for fantasy, let's kind of do a little game here, a little would you rather at second base. How about for the next how about if you're in a dynasty league and you are to do a draft now? Are you going to draft Yoan Moncada or Colton Wong?
Yoan Moncada.
How about him or Dustin Pedroia? I'm keeping it to second baseman, too.
I'll go Moncada only because I think the upside is just immense. But I'm worried about if Pedroia could stay healthy, I'd go Pedroia, I think, but I'm going Moncada.
I'm leaning Moncada on both. How about Ben Zobrist or Moncada?
I'm still going. That's probably the line. I'd probably go Zobrist if I'm trying to win. Probably Zobrist for now.
Okay. And I'm talking if you're drafting now, so you don't know necessarily if you're going to win or not. Usually,
okay, well, then give me Moncada then. Yeah, give me Moncada then. Yep.
Yeah. I'm talking from a pure drafting now, you know, inaugural
dynasty
draft.
Startup. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Okay.
And how about Brian Dozier? We'll go a little higher.
Moncada. I'm not a Dozier fan, though. I will say that.
What about Rougned Odor?
Well, say that again.
Rougned Odor. How about him?
Probably Odor, but that's close.
I agree. Odor is the only one that I would take.
He's still young. He's crazy young. So.
Which means in a startup right now, I am putting Moncada as a top five second baseman. Yep. That you can look at that as I'm crazy and that I'm way too high on him. But I will say this as a fantasy analyst, that if Moncada doesn't work out, then I literally have no idea what the world is anymore.
Completely agree. And I mean, look at this. In 66 career minor league at bats, that's roughly a full season, right? Give or take 10, 20 at bats, whatever. 45 doubles, 13 homers, 87 walks, 86 steals. Switch hitter is hitting 304, 412, 485.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. I mean, there's not really much to say on that. You know, we'll look at what he's done since he's been in Double A here, just to kind of get a gauge on what he's done. And, you know, in Double A so far in his 16 games, that's 67 at bats, he has a 328 average. He's hit another five bombs, 15 runs and RBIs both. The strikeout rate is a little bit alarming. He has 20 strikeouts to three walks, which we always talk about wanting those plate skills, but you know, he has another four stolen bases. So in a matter of 16 games, he's on pace, if he was to go a full season, to put up over 20 home runs and 20 stolen bases with over a 300 average. The contact skills are elite when he is making contacts. Like I said before, we are still looking for a better strikeout rate from him, mm-hmm. but he's far from a finished product. And right now, I think the upside is just so immense that that I would be very, very comfortable with taking him as pretty much a top five second baseman if we were going to do a startup.
I agree. And I bet you he goes within the top 120 picks.
Yeah, I maybe even higher, to be honest. Yep. Like when we did our startup for Friends with Fantasy Benefits Dynasty League, I believe I saw Xander Bogaerts go in the top 40, if I'm not mistaken. This was in 2014. Right. This was a 2014 startup. So you're looking at, you know, Bogaerts going as a top 40 pick. I think that if we were to restart that now, Moncada would probably go in the top 60, maybe even higher.
I could agree with that. Yep.
I don't know if I'd take him there, but I wouldn't disagree with it. I'll say that.
Can't argue with it. And nothing he's done to this point is – you can't nitpick anything. Strikeout rate, you can nitpick it, but if you're getting 40 steals and and 20 bombs, and then you're going to take it.
Absolutely. So we'll move on. Let's go over to pitcher here real fast. The guy that started the game for World Futures team is, you know, your boy, our boy, everybody's boy. That's Mr. Alex Reyes. Really showed off why he is one of, if not the top pitching prospect in the minors, throwing that gas. I mean, I saw him hit 100 multiple times on the gun. The command could have been a little bit better, but obviously he's a young pitcher. All young, you know, starters have a little bit of command problems, but he showed that nasty, nasty slider, showed the change up a couple times. Overall, had a really good performance, struck out 4 batters in his 1 2/3 innings pitched. He gave up only a couple hits, 1 walk. It, you know, really the results aren't that big of a deal, but what we saw was just an amazing raw talented pitcher, not raw, but just amazing raw talent. And I think for, you know, fantasy purposes, he's certainly a guy that can be an ace, not just a number 2 or a number 3, but an ace, especially in the Cardinals system. You know, I guess the question is here, we'll kind of go with the same, you know, space that we were before in a dynasty startup where you're kind of looking at, you know, ranking him among starting pitchers. So we'll start off in like the 40 range. Like, would you take him or a Carlos Martinez?
I knew you were going that route, man. I had a feeling in my head you were going to drop that as the first one. See, that's actually my comp I use for Reyes. I use Martinez, but instead of the slider, Reyes features the bigger 12-6 curveball. They both have really good changeups that are still developing. With the shoulder concerns, I think I'm going to lean Reyes, but this is very, very close.
Yeah, I'm still taking Martinez, but it's insanely close. You know, I don't fault anybody that wanted to go Reyes over. He's another one of those guys. I think he's like the pitching version of Moncada. Like, he's a sure thing to me. I see a couple things in his mechanics that have me a little bit alarmed. Like, he doesn't have the best balance in the world, and he puts a lot of stress on the arm. Kind of a bigger guy, so CC Sabathia feeling with him. Like, the first, you know, 5-6 years of his career, he's going to be fine. I mean, borderline elite. And then, you know, as he kind of ages, I'll be interested to see how big he actually gets. I mean, not that that matters. Sometimes it really doesn't matter how big you are. We've seen pitchers, you know, like Bartolo Colon be serviceable, even though he's, you know, close to 350 pounds. But yeah. I think he's, you know, at least for now, I don't think he's, you know, a top 30 guy or something, but I think top 40, if you're doing a startup, is I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Yeah. You touched on my two concerns with talent and the delivery. And I think a lot of that comes from, he's kind of got a bad body. He's listed at 175 on MLB.com, and he's about, I would say, honestly, he's probably 230.
Yeah. I don't know how they're that far off, but just watching him on a TV screen, there's no way, there's no possibility.
But I think, and you know, normally when you watch the futures game, for pitchers, you don't factor in the velocity because a lot of these guys are going max effort, and that's not anything really that you're going to see in a game. But for this year for Reyes, I actually think this might stand a little bit because I think that's his role this year for the Cardinals. Might will be out of the pen working those 1-2-inning stints, and I think you could see that 100 miles an hour with that changeup, which, by the way, he was throwing righty on righty to poor Clint Frazier there. Felt bad. And then throwing the big hammer curveball, to which he made Dansby Swanson look like an amateur,
which he is for now.
Well, he's a what do they say? He's a seasonal intern. Is that what they are now? But he made Dansby look like he was still in high school because threw the good morning, good afternoon, good night with 101 mile an hour fastball, and then you got him with two big breaking balls, I believe. But I think Reyes showed you what he can do this year if he gets called up for the Cardinals, because I do think that'll be the role for him, the bullpen, and I think he can be Dellin Betances-esque and blowing people away.
How about this? Do you envision him having a starting role with the team next year?
Not as it stands, because you look at the roster, obviously things change, guys get hurt. The Cardinals seem to have a guy go down every year. You look at Wainwright under contract. You look at Carlos Martinez isn't going anywhere. Waka is still there. The Cardinals have an option on Garcia. Lance Lynn's returning. That's 5 guys. Mike Leake is signed to a longer deal. That's 6 guys. Marco Gonzalez is going to be coming back. Tim Cooney's going to be back. There's a lot of starting pitching depth. Luke Weaver might be pushing the door down. He's putting up phenomenal numbers in Double A right now. I think next year, I think this year he makes an appearance, and I think next year he loses his prospect eligibility, but most of it might be in the pen still.
Okay. All right. Well, at least for fantasy owners, if you in a dynasty league have Reyes, nothing to be worried about here, at least for now, in terms of the body and all that stuff. I consider him the top pitching prospect that's available right now in the minors. I guess you could put Giolito or Urias up there on top of him, but I still think Reyes overall.
Giolito and Reyes are crazy close to me, and I go back and forth on this a lot. I think the only reason why I have Giolito higher, well, two reasons. We cited the kind of the body and the delivery concerns for Reyes a little bit, but what the problem with Giolito is just safer to me.
He is. I think that Reyes, though, has the higher strikeout upside.
Absolutely. Absolutely. 100% agree with that. But Giolito is safer if you're investing in a high pitcher that high. He's already had the Tommy John, which I know is weird to say, but that makes him safer, I guess. But they're very close. Splitting hairs.
For what it's worth, Baseball America has Giolito behind Reyes for now. And then they have, it looks like they have Berrios a little bit under them there. And then in Baseball Prospectus, you have, it looks like Giolito up top, and then Urias, and then Reyes. So that's kind of the way it shakes out there. Either way, we're looking at a quality starter, so there's not much, you know, to really add there.
Future number one.
Agreed. Let's before we go into our another kind of man crush here on offense, why don't we talk about Amir Garrett a little bit? The guy that we talked about on the last podcast we had, he didn't show necessarily the highest amount of skills in this game for the U.S. Futures team. Had a couple walks, but they let him go two innings. He was the only starter to do that for the U.S. team. And on top of that, you know, even though he didn't strike anybody out, I really liked what I saw from him. I know that it's well established now that he is not a guy that's been playing very long, and, you know, but he's a natural athlete. You can see that in his delivery, the way he pitches. There's still a lot of growing up to do, but I'm definitely getting higher and higher on this kid as I continue to, especially this is the first time I've watched him in a live game. I was really encouraged by what I saw from him. What do you think about Amir Garrett, at least for now and for the future, in terms of what he could be?
I really like the kid. I'm a sucker for athletes, and Garrett was not only a two-sport player, but he was actually a damn good basketball player. He got college scholarships to play basketball, so the athleticism is through the roof here for me. I think if everything breaks right, I think he's a number two starter long term. There is a little bit of question of if he can stay in the rotation long term, which they cite the delivery a little bit. Sometimes he struggles repeating. I think that's just because he hasn't committed as much time to baseball as the rest of these guys have. And I think that's something that can easily be corrected. But I'm gambling on the number two starter upside. I'm a little bit on the higher end for Garrett, but I've seen some people say bullpen. I think he's better than that.
Yeah, he is a lefty, if for those of you that don't know.
Yep.
And he's the type of guy that I think could be I think number two is like the high upside. I'm looking in terms of fantasy at
fantasy number three.
Yeah, and that's what I would like from him, a three or four, maybe a Jose Quintana type in terms of value.
It's a pretty good comp.
Yeah, and, you know, in terms of AAA, what he's done over three starts there, he's definitely had an issue with the walks, particularly the first start that he had. He gave up six walks and struck out four and five and two-thirds against the Toronto AAA squad. So, you know, but he also faced them again the start after, and he had a much more serviceable outing. He only had two walks and five strikeouts in his seven innings pitch, only gave up four hits. So you're looking at, and no runs as well. So I really am encouraged by that start. And I think that he's just a guy that's going to take some time. I think we see him in the second half of next year. But yep, he certainly looked like he belonged against these future major leaguers for the most part. So he's certainly a guy that if you are interested in, I think that the Futures game definitely helped, even though he didn't strike anybody out.
I 100% agree with everything you said.
Excellent. I'll just give a little quick side note as we continue to kind of go through here. We're just kind of free flowing here with the game. We don't want to, you know, control exactly what we talk about. I do want to say that I watched Phil Bickford. Huge fan still. I think that what I saw from the game made me even more of a fan. Just, you know, not necessarily the most polished guy, but what can you expect out of a guy that just got promoted to what, high A? You know, so we still have a few years left on him. But if you can buy, like we mentioned a few weeks ago on the podcast, I really, really think that he could be a future number two, possibly even number one for fantasy if you have a couple of years to wait. So,
agreed, 100%. I really, really like the strikeout potential there, and he's kind of a guy that's been underlooked. But the Giants do extremely well with their pitching prospects on top of everything that Bickford's already shown. So I think he can be pretty comparable to like where Tyler Glasnow is at this time next year, as far as like how high people are holding him. He won't reach the majors, but like how high of a standard people put on him. You know what I'm saying? Like, fast forward the clock, he could be on that level next year.
Yeah, I agree. I will mention a couple of Rays prospects that, you know, were in the futures game. First off, Ryan Stanek. I don't understand quite why he was on the U.S. team. Maybe you can kind of, you know, shed some light on that. But he got converted to a bullpen role. Since he's been there, he's been solid. He's been the type of, you know, reliever that you would like, touching triple digits at times. Really inconsistent. He got actually touched up a bit in this game. Do you have any stance on Stanek before I get into the next Rays prospect?
Not really. I mean, I liked him in college. He's a big SEC arm. I think he's from Arkansas. University of Arkansas, I believe.
Yeah, he got pushed back in the first round due to arm problems, I believe.
Yeah, well, not a lot to love here. I think he struggled. He really, really struggled commanding the fastball. But he can move fast. He could be fast-tracked. I guess you could probably expect to see him in the Tampa Bay bullpen this year.
Maybe. I don't think he's ready, though. To be honest, I think you'll see a lot of like Chase Whitley, the guys they already have on the major league squad. Chase Whitley slash Alex Cobb could be in the bullpen, or you know, a starter slash bullpen piece. You know, the Rays are not gonna, I don't think they'll call up Stanek unless it's a September call up just for him to get a cup of coffee, you know.
Yeah, I guess they have, when you have Ryan Garten in your bullpen, you don't need any Ryan.
And when you're looking at it from a fantasy sense, you know, we're already spending way too much time on Stanek. He's not a, you know, he was an interesting arm when he got drafted because there was a possibility that he could stick as a starter. But at least for now, you know, knowing that the Rays finally made that switch, there's no real fantasy impact that he's going to make. You know, you can possibly get him, you know, very, very cheap or as a waiver ad if you want to speculate on saves here in the next couple of years. But, you know, I do think he's a piece of the bullpen probably starting next year if you're, you know, in some type of holds league or, you know, like kind of the high dynamic, you know, relief arms that can possibly pitch at the back end of a bullpen at some point.
Sure. I completely agree. He just needs to tighten up the command, but that's the same story for a lot of young pitchers.
Yeah, the other Rays prospect I want to mention, or we'll get to some of the bats here. I know Willy Adames is certainly my favorite Rays prospect, at least right now. I wanted to talk about Chiwei Hu. I mean, if I'm even coming close to pronouncing that correctly.
I am not the expert on names, so I have no idea. One thing I do know about this guy is he has a hell of a changeup. It's kind of like a palm ball.
Yep, he actually throws a palm ball. That's what I was going to mention.
Yep. Well, sorry. They got him. They stole him for Kevin Jepson, I believe.
Yes, they did. So. Yes, they did.
He's command control guy, but the command is very, very good. Three solid average pitches that he can throw for strikes. I'm really high on the changeup. Fastball is about 92, 93, I believe. Solid number three, four starter in real life, so probably fantasy 4-5. He's going to be a good ratio asset for you. Tampa Bay does extremely well with arms. He's another guy that you can invest in right now and not spend a lot and reap the benefits for in about 2 years.
Very, very consistent arm this last month, at least, actually, about a month and a half. He's had, you know, six straight starts. He's gone six innings or more. Not all of them have been quality starts, but he continues to, you know, show off his nice repertoire that he has. That palm ball is something that people don't have a lot of, I guess they don't see a lot. So,
sure.
I mean, he's definitely a unique starter in that sense. He's been solid. I mean, this year he has just under a 3 ERA and 90 innings pitched, a nice strikeout rate as well. Not something that's, you know, amazing or has the highest upside in the world, but certainly a guy that nobody is on. You know, he's 23 years old or almost 23 years old in Double A. I certainly think he gets promoted towards the end of the year here. But the fact that he was on the futures roster and he held his own, you know, he struck out two of the three batters he faced. You could do worse, and I don't think that anybody is going to have him. So I think that he's worth an add in deep dynasty, you know, like our 20-team dynasty. I don't think he's quite worth adding yet. But if you're in like an AL-only dynasty where, you know, you can just, you know, stash anybody. I mean, I know there's mm-hmm. leagues out there that it's insanely deep. I think that Hugh could certainly be a guy that makes the Rays rotation sometime in the next, you know, maybe the back half of next year.
Yeah, no arguments there. I generally don't like to invest in mid-rotation arms, but guys in Tampa Bay are sometimes the exception only because, like you said, their success rate with developing arms is pretty good. So,
yeah, agreed. Let's go on to Carson Fulmer. I'm not trying to have this be, you know, a podcast where all we do is talk about guys that we've already talked about, but, you know, we mentioned Fulmer and how he has struggled with the walks. That has not changed.
No.
You know, recently he still has, you know, a number of walks on his resume. You know, he had 3 walks in his latest start, and then before that, 4 walks, and then 2 walks in 7 innings. Regardless, he's very inconsistent, and you could see that in his windup when you were watching in the Futures game. You know, somebody that just doesn't have a consistent release point, doesn't have consistent balance either. His torque is a little off as well, just his momentum. Everything's just a tad off at times. Certainly not the most consistent, you know, delivery in the world. But I will say I saw a lot of upside with him because the velocity was still solid. He threw a couple of nice secondary offerings that I thought were flashing plus at least. So mm-hmm. I'm not completely giving up on him. On the best stage for minor league prospects, he definitely held his own. If nothing else, this shows that he certainly could be a reliever in the long run. But I think there still is hope for at least him to be a starter for the future. What do you feel about Carson Fulmer? Did anything he do in this game sway you one way or the other?
Not really. With what he's done this year, I'm starting to jump more into the reliever camp, but I keep holding out hope that the White Sox are the right organization for him. And I still think I know I've said this before, but they do well with college kids with weird deliveries. They end up squeezing the most out of those oranges, I guess you could say. the thing with Fulmer though, like you could watch him one day and he looks like a future number one. The stuff is nasty, like the sharp break on the breaking ball and the fastball humming up in the upper 90s. But then you could watch him the next day, and he's getting blown up. And like you said, consistency, and you were referring to the delivery, but I think the consistency with him in general is the biggest question mark.
True.
And a lot of it comes from you were 100% accurate, I believe, and it's the delivery. Like it's hard to repeat that. If you've ever seen him, it's kind of like a Tim Lincecum hybrid thing. It's
yeah,
really strange.
Yeah, kind of Tyler Clippard. I look at him as like a Tyler Clippard
yeah,
delivery.
Yeah, he's a really, really over the top. And it's kind of herky jerky. I know that's not the best analysis, but I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. You need to YouTube it or need to watch the game, and that's the best way to look at it. And I think it's nasty. I think he can be potentially deadly on righties if you want to use him as a bullpen guy, but I do think he can start, but he's going to be really inconsistent. So he's not going to be a guy that you can just plug in, at least for the first couple of years, where you can just plug in your lineup and not worry about it. He's a guy you're going to have to be watch matchups for the first couple of years of his career. But I think he'll be a solid starter in the long run. But you have to be patient, and you might take some bruises along the way.
All right, fantasy owners, this is what I'll tell you about Fulmer. So if you want a kind of short, condensed version on what you do with him, what you do is you wait out the rest of the year because obviously nobody's going to trade you for him right now unless they're trying to buy super low, which I don't think you should do yet. So what you do is you watch him from here forward. If you continue to see him walk 3+ a game in AA, then I say at the end of the season, you move him. Because my assumption is if he continues this the rest of the way, and he's not making any improvements, and when I say any improvements, I mean if he strings together 3, 4, 5 starts where he limits the walks to like 2-1 each of those games, even sprinkles in 1-3 or you know a 4 in there, but at the relatively you know for the most part all of his starts are staying in the 2-1 you know area, and he's improving in that category, then you hold and you continue to ride it for next season, and then we'll kind of reevaluate there. But if this continues, I'm gonna continue the more and more starts that he accrues 3+ walks, I'm going to more and more believe that he is a late inning reliever. So my simple stance is that if he continues this, you let him go, or you just look at him as a reliever long term. But if he improves, and make sure that you monitor if he improves, then I think that you might have something that's not special, but at least a fantasy, you know, 4 or 5 on your hands.
And the thing with him becoming a reliever, it doesn't necessarily mean he has no value.
Agreed.
But you also don't really want to hold a roster spot on that either. I mean, he can be the closer, but you're not going to hand a young kid. When's the last guy that came up from the minors that was handed a closer job? That doesn't happen.
Yeah, it doesn't happen often. And, you know, I mentioned, like, well, you're holding on to a fantasy possible 4 or 5. We always say we don't want to hold on to those guys, you know, unless you know, are in a deep enough league where those guys can actually matter. You know, I don't think that his upside is 4 or 5. I think that if he improves the walk rate, that's what we can reasonably expect, at least in the near future. But their upside for him is certainly higher than that. So that's why you're holding on. That's why you're hoping and praying that he gets this corrected. But at the end of the day, guys, if he doesn't improve this, it's going to be him in a relief role. And I know that's what people don't want to hear, but that's just the fact of the matter.
Sorry, Eli.
Yeah, RIP, Eli. So There's a few other starters that got some time here. Is there anybody off the top of your head that you just kind of want to mention that, you know, stood out to you in any type of way? Me personally, I didn't see a ton extra that, you know, I thought was amazing. You know, Jeff Hoffman did make an appearance, and I thought that was fine. And
I love Jeff Hoffman. I'm just so sad he's in Colorado.
Yeah, which, you know, again, RIP to him as well. But there wasn't really anybody, you know, that blew me away, other than, you know, nobody really blew me away other than Reyes. But is there any other guys that you want to touch on before we move to some more hitters?
I like Joe Musgrove.
I thought you did well to start the game as well.
Yes.
You could see that he was full, not necessarily of anxiety, but he was full of tension. You know, you could tell that he was amped up, and he did a good job of really, you know, just starting the game off right. I mean, he didn't accrue any strikeouts, but he did a good job of kind of holding that really good world offense, you know, held them off the scoreboard in the first inning, which is certainly encouraging.
He's exactly the type of guy that doesn't stand out in games like this. Like we talked about earlier, that flash tools, he's not the flashiest guy. But the command is like plus.
And well, give people a background about him, like what organization.
Yeah. Well, he was originally property of the Blue Jays. He was a first round pick in 2011, I think, out of a high school. He's had arm injuries, man. Arm injury after arm injury. He was thrown in as a smaller piece in a Jay Happ trade that sent him to Houston. He kind of has taken off this year. The command is stellar. 66 innings, he's only has 9 walks. That's unreal.
That's certainly stellar.
And he's not going to light up the gun. His stuff doesn't play. Like, in a futures game like this, you're looking at Reyes throwing 101. You know, you got guys like that hitting triple digits. Musgrove isn't going to light up the gun, but he's also not a soft tosser. He can sit 94, 95, which is still very good. Very good slider. Very good changeup. He's very developed, very polished. I would expect to see him. Normally, a guy like him, 2011 draft pick, I would expect to see this year, maybe toward the end of the year. But I think with how much he's been hurt in the innings he hasn't thrown, I think they kind of have to pull the reins back. And you'll see him next year. He'll make a big impact for the Astros, but I don't see it this year. But he's a nice name to stash.
I think long term for him, he has the upside of a Chris Tillman. That's what I'll get for Musgrove.
That's a good, usable fantasy piece. Agreed.
Yeah. So, all right, let's move on to some hitters, because I've been kind of waiting for this. I know I started off with a few just to kind of get us off to a bang here, but I really want to mention something about Josh Naylor, because he is insanely young for this game and almost had no business being there. But he had 2 hits and 3 at-bats, and I understand, like, you know, the off-field stuff where he stabbed a guy, and, you know, I get all that. Absolutely ridiculous.
I shouldn't laugh, but it's crazy to hear. The story's nuts.
In no way do I condone that at all.
No,
I feel
never.
Like that's, you know, and unfortunately, I own him in multiple places, so I you know, I feel like I do condone it in a way because I own him. But
prank gone horribly wrong.
Yeah. Regardless, though, I mean, we're looking at a landscape. I was actually talking trade with somebody in the Friends with Fantasy Benefits League, I believe yesterday or the day before, and they were trying to acquire Josh Bell from me. And I have Josh Naylor as well, but, you know, and I'm somebody that's rebuilding. But when you look at the minor league first base market, there's not a lot there. You know, when you have guys like Rowdy Tellez in the top 10 amongst, you know, first basemen, and he's far, far from a sure thing. I mean, I love the upside possibility, but he's far from a sure thing. You know, I feel like first base is just a place where you really can't trade a guy right now, especially if you somewhat believe in them. And the fact that Josh Naylor went into that futures game and you know, not only, you know, held his own, but did fairly well, I'm very encouraged by that. I mean, the kid is, you know, obviously got some off the field issues that we need to kind of address later on, but kid's only 19. You know, he's got a while. He's not going to be in the majors anytime soon. But overall, man, I love the power possibility. He has the same frame almost of like a Prince Fielder, not necessarily that big, but I mean, he was big when we were watching.
He's a younger Prince, yeah.
So overall, man, what do you think about Naylor? Because me personally, I'm encouraged, and I'm definitely close to saying he's one of my top five first base prospects.
Top five first base prospects. I can definitely get on board with
for
that.
For fantasy, we'll say that.
Yes, for fantasy, I agree. As far as Naylor goes, I mentioned on this show all the time how I'm a big tools whore. And being a first base prospect, not much there for that. So admittedly, I'm a little bit down on first base prospects in general, but I do love Naylor's hit tool. He was a bit of a question mark when the Marlins took him that high in the draft. Kind of drew a little bit of skepticism for various reasons, but it's proven to be a shrewd pick to this point. He's hit in one of the toughest levels. I'm trying to pull up the stat line here. My computer's tweaking out. But
well, if you look at, like, I'll say this about his stat line. He's hit both places in rookie ball
everywhere
last year
he's been.
And this year. And but there's 10 stolen bases on the log for this year. So yeah. If you're just, like, randomly looking at his stats and you see the 10 stolen bases, I can promise you now he's not going to be a stolen base threat at all.
No, and yeah, we always say don't scout the stat line, which you shouldn't do. But it's good to know the stat line in context because he's putting up numbers in high A at 19 in one of the toughest environments in high A, and he's doing more than holding his own. So that's something to hold into account. He's a long ways away, being only in high A and 19, but I think he can be an above-average first-base bat for you, and he's definitely rosterable in fantasy formats down the line for sure.
Let's do a comparison for minor league. Since you do minor league rankings, if you're doing a startup dynasty draft today, are you taking him or Trey Mancini?
Mancini, because he's closer.
Okay. Are you taking him or Dom Smith, who also was in this game?
I like Naylor.
So do I. I'll just mention with Smith, because we're not going to deep dive on him. He still looks very plump and still looks like somebody that's not going to hit for power to me.
I know this is a lazy comp, but he reeks of James Loney.
We've mentioned that before. I don't think there's much more. I think a lot of people are giving that comp, and I honestly don't even know if he's that to this point. I mean, I know he's improved a bit this year. I really didn't want to go this long on Dom Smith, but regardless, he's improved a bit this year in the power department, but he still is just, he's not in shape. He's still like, I'm not enthused by it. I just don't. If for fantasy purposes, I think I would take, even though I'm not really high on him, Casey Gillespie, I would take over Dom Smith.
That's fair to say. I would also.
I mean, some people could go the other way, but regardless, let's go back to the point here. So you would take Mancini over Naylor. You would take Naylor over Smith. How about, we'll say Josh Okimi.
I'll take Naylor.
So would I. How about Chris Shaw?
I'll take Shaw.
Really?
Yep. Okay. I love the college bat. I think he's going to move quicker. He's already, you know, it's part of first base prospect is they got to hit, and Shaw is absolutely obliterating the ball at every level he's ever been at.
I would still lean Naylor. How about Bellinger, Cody Bellinger from the Dodgers system?
Bellinger, but that's close.
I still go Naylor. How about Rowdy Tellez from the Toronto system, who is having a very good year, might I add?
Yeah. That's tough. Naylor, though.
I'm going Naylor as well by a very, very slim margin. So I think it's safe to say that we put Naylor amongst the top eight first baseman prospects. What about Rhys Hoskins? How do you feel about him? Because he's having a blow up year this year.
He's having a monster year this year. I have to go Hoskins only because of the dumpster fire in front of him at first base in Philadelphia.
True.
I think he could be up next year and play a prominent role. So and that's part of the beauty in judging fantasy prospects is you have to judge not only proximity but also ceiling and kind of combine them. And I'm looking at my rankings right now. I didn't publish it. I don't think I went this far deep, but when I published it, but I have Hoskins 5 spots ahead of Naylor.
Okay.
So that's really close.
Well, all right. So in general, though, we're very high on Naylor. He's far away, like we mentioned. But, yep. You know, overall, man, I'm really not seeing a lot of upside here in the first base position for Dynasty. So yep. If you're anywhere near competing, I think it's definitely a good idea to go after some of these other guys that are already in the majors. You know, particularly Josh Bell, I think you can definitely get in on the ground level right now. And I know you're not as high on him, but me personally, I think that there's more to come.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't mind getting in on the ground level there. I wouldn't mind, you know, still getting some of the veteran guys, you know, like I know Hosmer is like up there in terms of what you would have to pay to get him. But, you know, even Justin Boards of the world, Matt Adams, those type of guys, yep. I would not mind getting because, you know, for the future, it's not looking that great at the position.
I think if you want to be proactive and you want to grab the best first base prospects in the minors, I mean, you're talking Bell. You can
Bobby
probably
Bradley.
Bobby Bradley, Dan Vogelbach, which he's kind of blocked. But I think if you want to get the real top first baseman, you look at guys like Gary Sanchez, who's not even playing the position, or Devers, who's also not playing the position. But I think that's where they both end up.
Which is a crime that. I mean, Sanchez played in this game, which we'll get to, but Devers not making this game is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's having a bit of a down year, and there's a limit on each how many players per organization can call. There's more rules than just the best players. It's
very true. Very, very true. So let's get on some more guys that, you know, kind of are highlights or people that are big names at least. So Gary Sanchez did play. I didn't really see much different from him. I still really like him for the future. At least until he gets off of the catcher eligibility. I think that they're going to, you know, hopefully give him a chance at some point in the second half of the year in the major leagues. But for the future, I think, you know, we are still kind of up in the air because he hasn't been given a real shot yet.
Yeah, he hasn't. And that's kind of the damper for me is when are they actually going to give him a shot and when are they going to give up the catching charade? Because it's not going to happen. And you can't carry a backup catcher that's offensive based. I mean, most teams, it's all defense for the backup guy. So he's an odd fit to a roster. And with the way the Yankees are built currently, he's an odd fit for the DH role because they have so many older guys that need to play that position.
Yeah.
it's an awkward fit. If anyone needs a trade really bad, it's probably him, but the Yankees aren't really in a position to do that because you could look at, as soon as next year, I guess, a combination of him and Greg Bird at first and DH.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
so,
that's true.
I mean, and that's pretty productive. I like them both better than, like, Aaron Judge, who I don't really care for that much. But it is what it is on that aspect.
Well, let's stay on the catcher side of things. You know, we did see a couple other guys that are big names for fantasy. We saw Chance Sisko hit a home run, I believe, and, you know, somebody that I know that you're not terribly high on. We also saw Francisco Mejia, who I really like.
Me too.
There's a ton of projection left with him. He's only in high A. He's a baby. I mean, he's only 20, but we're looking at a guy in Mejia that I think can really, really rise up prospect lists, especially as the years kind of go on. Natural athlete to me. I really loved what I saw in Mejia. So anything you want to add with Mejia or Sisko? With Mejia, at least personally for me, I would put him above Sanchez and Sisko long term.
I agree. He's just so far away with being only in high A as a catcher. But I mean, yeah, he repeated the Midwest League this year, but he did exactly what you want when a guy repeats. He destroyed the league. So you can't really criticize, you know what I mean? Like for repeating, because he improved his batting average by 100 points, which is crazy.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and he destroyed it. And I really, really like him a lot. I actually, in our Friends with Fantasy Benefits startup 2 years ago, I used my last round pick on Francisco Mejia. I was way ahead of the curve. But I didn't really know how to value the catching prospect at the time. I figured he might move quicker than that. I was wrong, but he is hitting now. And that's all you can say. Who was the other catcher you wanted to talk about? I'm sorry.
Chance Sisko, I just mentioned for a second.
Yeah, okay.
There's not much to really
mention.
I think that
I don't think he catches long term. I think he's a second baseman or a third baseman, and then the bat is completely fringe at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a tweet today. He was the only American hitter to homer in the game, but he did not hit a homer in BP.
So, <Go figure.
laughs> right? But yeah, I'm not big on Cisco or catching prospects in general. I tend to not roster catching prospects because we've talked about this before. A lot of variables that we can't quantify.
A lot of post-high sleepers, a lot of guys that end up, you know, spiking in production once they hit the latter part of their careers. Yep.
Typical prime for players is 27, 28. For catchers, it's 29, 30.
Yeah.
Oh, and it's a long way.
That's why I don't think that you should necessarily write off Gary Sanchez, but I also don't put him ahead of the other guys just because I don't think he sticks at catcher. I do put him ahead of Cisco, though, because I'm just not that high on him. But
let's the thong song?
Yeah. Not that guy. Let's move on to some outfielders, you know, because we have a plethora of them that, you know, kind of showed off in this game. Some of them didn't, but, you know, David Dahl made a great defensive play, you know, but didn't really do anything in the offensive side of things. We still love David Dahl. We've already
mentioned
him.
Number six guy.
Yep. Yeah, we've still mentioned him. I definitely would put him up there in the top five. I still have him ahead of Bregman for me. Some people don't. It's all kind of a variable thing there. But overall, we're still really high on David Dahl. Yep. Raimel Tapia, another Colorado Rockies prospect, got to see him for the first time live, and I really liked what I saw. I know that some people are a little bit down on him, and we did see firsthand him do that stupid little slouch thing that I just I cannot get over. But and he didn't do that great. I mean, he only had one hit and five at bats. But I'm the projection for him. I just the body, his fluidity, his
the ballpark just, he's going to play in.
Yeah, the athleticism. I am in love with Tapia. I know that this has been a stance from other people in the past, but at least for now, man, especially while people are a tad down on him, for me personally, man, this is the perfect time to buy. What did you see in Tapia?
He swings at everything, but he barrels it up. He's like no, like the home run numbers and the batting average won't be as high as either of these guys, but I kind of compare him to like an Ichiro and a Vlad Guerrero, like hybrid. Like, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like he's going to hit for average. He's going to hit for power, but kind of 20-ish at peak. A lot of doubles. So steal a lot of bases, at least originally. He's a terrible defensive player, which is weird because he's fast.
Yeah.
And he can't play center because his routes are so bad. But in that ballpark, I'm for hitting, and that's like the perfect place for him.
I'll say this, man, because, you know, I've heard some people say 20 home runs at peak, which I can understand, you know, but
he's really small frame. I have a hard time putting a lot more on it.
Fangraphs has him listed at 6'2", 160. I'm telling you right now, he's 160 soaking wet. Like, he's not 160. And even if he is, he's a very slim-looking 160. I think that if he ever gets to the point where he's like 190 and gets that muscle on him, hitting in Colorado, man, I think that he could hit 25, 30 home runs. And I think the speed, because of his athleticism, can definitely play. I think it's at peak. He can certainly be somebody that hits 20, 25 home runs and continues to steal bases. He's a fantasy first rounder for me at peak, in my opinion.
It's very possible. I can't argue with anything you're saying. And it's a debate you wouldn't think we would be having, but I mean,
well, that's the guy that a couple years ago that every single fantasy or dynasty league that I was in, everybody was taking this guy.
Jason Parks at BP was hyping him up real hard.
Yes.
And everyone kind of jumped on board, and then everyone kind of turned on him for whatever reason. Yes. I still haven't figured it out. I mean, I look at you look at the numbers he's put up. Yes, they're in heavy offensive environments, but he's destroying the leagues. He's adjusting.
He has an 11% strikeout rate this year. This is after a log of minor league years where he has not been a guy that strikes out a ton. You know, I personally think that this is a perfect time to buy. You know, I would easily give up. Let's see here off the top of my head. I would certainly give up some guys here, like a Mickey Moniak. If you drafted him and somebody's willing to take Moniak from you for Tapia every single day of the week. Ahmed Rosario, yep, I would do it. Let's see, even like Amir Garrett, I would do, because I think Tapia has the ability to be a first rounder.
Yep.
How about I keep it simple? I would put Tapia amongst my top 20 fantasy prospects because of the long-term possibility of him being a first rounder, in my opinion, rather than go with some of these other guys that are safe.
Yeah, that's the thing with Tapia. He's not the safest pick, but he's got a high upside, and that's what you want.
Well, I think the floor is good, too, because he has solid skills. I mean, he doesn't walk an insane amount, but he showed me, at least in the Futures game, that he knows what he's doing up there. I mean, he didn't have the greatest at-bats in the world, but a few of them, you could just tell that he had that quick hand-eye coordination and that he was able to really follow the ball all the way through. You know, I mean, like I said, didn't have the greatest at bats, but he didn't strike out at all. And, you know, he was somebody that was really swinging the bat, very aggressive. So that might just have been the game. But I'm okay with him being aggressive, especially in this field.
I'm going to ask you, I guess, who would you rather have here? I have him ranked back-to-back. I'm not going to tell you who is first or who's not. Well, I guess all these three guys are back-to-back. So tell me the order you would put them in. Aaron Judge, Raimel Tapia, or Tyler O'Neill?
I would go Tapia, O'Neill, Judge.
That's exactly how I have it, but they're back to back to back.
That's fine. I mean, they all have different skill sets. I'd say the closest of the two would be Judge and O'Neill in terms of skill sets.
Completely different players. I was just saying, like, who would you rather from, the kind of exercise we were doing with Moncada earlier.
Sure. How about this? Since we're speaking about Tyler O'Neill, he was also somebody that was featured in this game. Weirdly, actually, for the world team.
Yeah, he's a Canadian dude.
Yeah, so I didn't know that prior to doing this. So, you know, I apologize for not knowing that.
He's also an explorer based on that route he took on that ball Bregman hit.
That was bad. I will say if you get a chance to watch the game, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. But he took about 9 or 10 tumbles after trying to field that ball.
I heard his friends nickname him Magellan because he sailed around the world. That was a horrible joke.
I laugh at anything though, but not as big as I thought he would be. I'll say that.
Quotes on him that are interesting today, but
there's some risk obviously with any prospect, but he's obviously tearing the cover off the ball this year. You know, he homered in back-to-back games coming into this Futures game. He also homered, you know, a few games prior to that. Just he's really having a breakout season. So we'll say this here. There's nothing in that game that showed us one way or the other whether we want to buy long-term or not. At least me personally, getting the eye test on him really just showed me, like, he's a solid guy. We'll say this. Like, for the second half of this year, what are we looking for in O'Neill for us to either gauge whether we want to buy for the long-term and we're going to keep him no matter what, or whether he's a piece that we trade?
Well, I think I know this is an easy answer, but I think you just got to look at him to keep doing what he's doing. I read some quotes from Jerry DePoto today that weren't all that great as far as what dynasty owners want to hear regarding O'Neill. I guess the plan is to keep him in double A for the rest of the season to continue to build on the success and have a great year, to go into the next offseason on a high note. They plan on, again, promoting him to triple A for the playoffs. And then he's going to go play in the Arizona Fall League.
Okay.
So you won't see him this year in the major leagues. I think that's the right path for development. I mean, the Mariners don't really need an outfielder right now. And, I mean, their situation's weird up there. I like O'Neill a lot. I have him firmly. He's probably my biggest riser of anyone this year for the prospect circles. I have him in my top 45. Fantasy prospects, which he wasn't even close to that before the season started. So he's risen quite a bit. The power and speed is there. The reducing the strikeout rate is wonderful. I'm a bit nervous about Seattle's organization, you know, but they seem to be doing the right thing with O'Neill here. So I'd buy him everywhere you can. I think the opportunity is running out because of the numbers he's putting up. But if you could still get him, I'd do it.
Well, let's see here. Nelson Cruz is under contract until 2018. He's not the most durable player in the world.
No.
Franklin Gutierrez is also there, somebody that's not very durable. Nope. You also have Nori Aoki, who got sent down even.
Which is weird. Yeah.
We have Leonis Martin there, who has made some strides this year, and I'm really liking what I'm seeing. long term, I don't know. I mean, he plays a different position anyway, so I guess it really doesn't matter. But overall, looking at the corners, I think that there's certainly an avenue for him to play. There's certainly a story that you could sell to me that he plays sometime in the first half next year if things kind of broke right. So,
yep.
You know, I'll say that I don't even want to necessarily see him continue doing what he's doing here. I just want to see him continue to not strike out, because if he continues to strike out about, what, 20%, 23%, I believe is where he's at right now, I think that the rest of the way, no matter how many home runs he hits, that's an encouraging sign in that you should definitely keep and hold him going into next year.
Absolutely agree.
Manny Margot, I thought that he was going to be a nice fantasy prospect going into this year. I still think that he's going to get a good amount of time here in the second half of the season. He might even get somewhere near 100, 150 at bats if things kind of play right. Typical leadoff hitter, very small, everything we kind of know about him, a speed asset. Anything in this game that kind of caught your eye with him, or just kind of more of the same?
Oh, he made a nice catch at the Robin Carson Kelly there.
Yeah.
this is a nice grab in his home ballpark, getting used to his future home place out in center field there.
Yeah, which was pretty cool. I mean, other than the uniforms being absolutely hideous.
Oh, man, that's cool. God-awful. Yeah, I wish the Futures game did it like the Major League All-Star game and they wear the pro jerseys. I think that'd be much cooler.
But, I agree.
But anyways, I'm kind of in the camp that Margot might not come up this year.
Really? Well, it makes sense because obviously
San Diego's playing for nothing. Yeah,
it makes sense. I get it.
I think a lot of his future is dependent on what they do with Melvin Upton. If they deal him, maybe he comes up. You know what I mean? I don't know. Because he's going to play center no matter when he comes up. And John Jay's in center, but he's hurt right now. Jankowski's a decent filler for what they're trying to do, which is fake win, I guess. They're trying not to openly tank, but the roster's pretty bad. I mean, that roster's not good. But the service clock thing, AJ Preller is pretty savvy when it comes to that stuff. So it's very possible that Margot doesn't come up. And if he does, it's 30, 40 at bats in September. I mean, I'm not betting on him for this year. I still like him long term as a potential 30 steal guy. He doesn't have the breakaway speed, the blazing speed to be any higher than that, I don't think. But he can hit at peak years 290 and steal 30 bags and hit 6 to 8 homers.
Okay. How about this in a vacuum? Would you take Margot or Contreras? Wilson Contreras long term?
Wilson Contreras.
I agree, unless you need a stolen base asset. How about him or Ian Happ?
Oh, that's tough. I think I'm going with Margot only because Happ doesn't have a direct path to playing time in that organization.
I agree. How about him or Gleyber Torres?
Same story. Give me Margot.
Agreed. How about Margot or Austin Meadows?
Austin Meadows, but that's close.
Agreed. They're
in the same tier for me.
Agree. How about him or Eloy Jimenez, who we are going to talk about right now?
Oh, boy. Right now, Margot, if you ask me this question 2 or 3 months from now, it might be Eloy. And honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if it was, because he is just ripping the ball right now.
Laced a massive bomb in this game, really kind of broke the game open, if you're asking me. I mean, he hit in the ninth inning off of Stanek. But
yeah,
this year, man, made some strides. He doesn't have the strikeout percentage isn't high, even though it's risen over the last couple of years. The ISO, though, has taken a massive bump. We've seen him hit for the best average he's hit for in the minors. It looks like he is in the midst of a breakout season. Very good frame, 6'4", 205. Another just tool for the Cubs to have.
Finally giving the Cubs a young talent to build around, finally.
Not even 20 years old yet. Certainly going to be a corner outfielder for the future for them. Could be even a trade piece if they decide they really, really need Chapman or something like that. But imagine him in Yankee Stadium. You know, I mean, if he's in Yankee Stadium for Chapman, I mean, look out for Jimenez, a left-handed bat, or I'm sorry, a right-handed bat, doesn't matter which side. But regardless, I'm really high on Jimenez, somebody that I think is going to be a fast, fast riser as we continue this season. Him or Tyler O'Neill rest of the way? Not rest of the way, but in terms of dynasty keeper.
Jimenez, because O'Neill's not going to reach the majors this year either, so give me Jimenez.
Do you think that Jimenez has more stolen base appeal?
No, I just think the bat is... I think he's a potential 60-70 guy.
How about him or Eloy Jimenez or Victor Robles?
I love Robles. I'm probably irrationally high on Robles. I have him in my top 10 for dynasty prospects, and he's only an A-ball.
I disagree. I go with Jimenez. Nick Williams.
Nick Williams for now, but I keep reading bad things about him. so we'll see.
How about Judge, Eloy Jimenez or Aaron Judge? I'm assuming Jimenez.
I'm down on Judge. I'm not a Judge guy.
He's 24 now. He's hitting the nitty gritty. He needs to either come up. I know he's injured now, but he needs to maybe come up.
I agree. But Eloy Jimenez, man, he's kind of the reason why I don't get too excited about international guys like the J2 period.
Mm-hmm.
He was the number one guy in 2013. And he's finally making an impact now, like on prospect circles. You know what I mean?
It's
such a long – that's why I don't get too invested in, like, the amateur free agent side like that. But
– sure, it's a process. I mean
– yeah, if you were aggressive and grabbed him and held on to him for this long and you're – he's still only an A-ball, but he's putting up numbers, so you have to be excited. And I think by this time next year, he's going to be a solid top 30 prospect in all of baseball. And I think the Cubs – finally have a young piece to build around. So
completely agree with you. a guy that wasn't in the futures game that I just want to give an update on is Eason Diaz. He is my boy. He was the piece that was traded to the Brewers in exchange for Gene Segura. But his swing every bit reminds me of Robinson Cano. He right now at the midpoint of the year is sitting on 11 home runs and 7 stolen bases. The walk rate is great. The strikeout rate, while it's a little bit high at 25%, it's certainly not terrible. Something he certainly can improve on. But again, just somebody that I want to mention since we're talking futures game, but he wasn't invited. 20 years old. A-ball. I you definitely need to keep your eye on him. We're kind of getting long here, so we'll mention a few other names. We won't go crazy in depth, but we'll how about this? Give me a one word answer or one word impression you got from these guys during the game. Well, we'll hit one guy first before we go into the impressions. Alex Bregman. Much to say other than the guy's legit. We talked about him on the Wednesday podcast that's going to be coming out tomorrow, so we'll leave some room for that. But overall, was he the best player in the game, or was it Moncada for you?
I think right now in this stage of the game, it's Bregman. I guess if I had to do like a word association thing, my word would have been major leaguer, because that's where he needs to be now. He's clearly on a different level than these guys currently that he was playing with in the futures game. I'm not saying he's got the highest ceiling of all those guys, because he don't, because Moncada does. But Bregman is the best player right now that was in that game.
Do you have anybody in front of Bregman other than Moncada in your keeper dynasty rankings right now?
I'm looking at it right now. Mr. Moncada is number one, and Mr. Bregman is number two.
All right. So you have anybody that's rookie eligible, or not rookie eligible, I mean. So Joey Gallo, David Dahl.
All below him.
All right. That's all I needed to hear. And I agree. I agree with what you're saying. Clint Frazier, word for me.
Ginger. No, big power. Made big strides. Passed up Bradley Zimmer for me for Cleveland's top outfield prospect.
Yeah, he was, for one word for me, he was impressive. That's all I'll say about him. He was impressive. Stock certainly is rising. How about we go to Hunter Renfro?
I'm glad you brought him up. He is a lot of Will Myers to me.
Is that just because he's a Padre?
I know that's the easy thing to say, but like, I was digging deeper into Renfro because I'm intrigued by the numbers this year. The strikeout is horrible. So I dinged him for that a little bit. Enough as he should. But that park isn't necessarily going to be killer for him. He hits an overwhelming majority of his homers to right center. And I think that can play there.
Any thoughts on that? You're better at ballpark factors than I am.
San Diego is a better park than people think. So
yeah, no, it definitely is. I've heard you say that numerous times. And from what I've seen, I agree.
I mean, Melvin Upton is on pace to hit 30 plus home runs. So, I mean, you take that for what it's worth. But, you know, for me, just to keep it, you know, simple with Renfroe, I'll say that he was, you know, stout. That's the way I'll
sure.
He looks just really stout to me. Is there things to work on for him? Absolutely. But he's made improvements almost across the board. Still not somebody that's walking a ton, but he's made improvements across the board this year. I'm very excited about Renfroe.
I'll say boring but steady.
Yeah, I don't know what you could say boring about. I mean, he has 21 home runs right now, and he's not getting anywhere near the amount of love.
Comes off the page, really, for me. And the power is nice, but I don't think it plays all the way to Major League because he uses a lot of arms in his swing. That's kind of why I said Will Myers.
Sure.
The swing's he gets his arms out there, gets his long arms out there, but that's also when he connects, he connects, but when he gets fooled, he has no chance.
Yeah. I think Will Myers is an okay comp, but I don't think he strikes out nearly as much. And I also don't think that the power will be 30 plus. I think it's going to be settled somewhere in the 20 to 25 range with, you know, five stolen base, you know, production somewhere in there.
I can see that. No argument. You're a little higher than me, but that's fair.
Possibly. Hunter Dozier.
Nothing to me. Utility. Bat first utility profile.
I'm going to say underrated. That's what I'll say.
That's fair. That's fair.
Travis DeMeritt.
Toolsy. Lotto ticket.
I think that's a perfect way to describe him.
He's definitely a guy that should be owned in most dynasty formats due to the upside.
Agreed.
There is a extremely strong chance it turns into nothing for you, but if it does work out, you're going to be looking at a guy that's going to hit 20 homers easy for you at second base and steal 20 bases. So
agreed. How about Jorge Bonifacio?
Shouldn't have been in the futures game.
Yeah, me, it's meh. Willy Adames, I'll say
Johnny Peralta.
Get out of here with that nonsense. High projectability. That's what I'll say.
Johnny Peralta is the future.
Dilson Herrera.
I like the kid. I didn't know he was still a prospect, which is kind of – I don't think he is. I don't know why he was in the future game.
He is a prospect. He didn't get accrue enough at-bats.
Cool. Then I think it's telling me that the Mets went the Jose Reyes route with all that baggage instead of turning to Herrera.
So, I'm still a bit higher than you. I'll say he's a major leaguer.
Oh, he definitely is. I love Herrera. I just don't know what the Mets see. That there's obviously something there they don't like. The numbers are good everywhere.
Yeah.
So there's more to it than we know. Mysterious. That's my word.
We'll throw it to a pitcher, Ronaldo Lopez.
Reliever.
Really?
High strikeout reliever. Yep.
One word for him I'll say is upside.
It was impressive to watch. He didn't get any strikeouts, but him and Reyes were up over the 100 mile an hour, so that's nice.
What about this one's interesting? Jarrell Cotton,
upside, and underrated.
Yeah, I'll say he is not recognized.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much the same thing.
I'm not very good at this one word thing. I keep saying multiple.
So do I. So we're just trying to give a quick. I'm just trying to give a quick synopsis.
Yeah, no.
A lot of the guys here. Dansby Swanson.
Steady.
Yeah, I think that he's a bit overrated from fantasy perspective.
Top 20, he's my 22nd guy right now.
But he looked every bit like he belonged. I'll say that. So I'll say belonged. Let's see here. I will do just a couple more here since we're kind of going a bit long.
I like talking about this, so I don't care. Keep going.
Joe Musgrove.
Efficient.
I'll flow with that.
underrated, efficient, same difference, right?
Efficient's fine. Let's see. Ryan Healy.
Unheralded?
Yeah, I'll say had no idea who he was.
I knew a little bit about him. I know he has a twin brother that's like a reliever for the A's or something in their minor league system somewhere. I believe twin brother. I know they're a brother, but I don't know if they're twin or not. I just think there's two higher upside third basemen in his own organization, so I don't know what's going to happen with him.
True.
Chapman and Renato Nunez.
We'll go with Ronald Guzman.
Not dead.
Yeah,
only because he's back from he was in the same free agent class as Nomar Mazara.
Yeah, I'll just say Stout or Masher. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, he's a first base prospect on the rise.
I'll say Masher and somebody you need to keep an eye on. Let's just touch on the last guy here, and you know, this is somebody that's well known, and you know, definitely is somebody that I think will be a big leaguer, and that's Andrew Benintendi. You know, watching him live, I think that he's definitely a quality player. I have nothing bad to really say about him. I'll just say from a fantasy perspective, like I've continued to say, that I just do not think the ceiling is that high. I think that he is a worse version of Michael Conforto with a few more stolen bases, which I can respect. But I think that people that are just getting a little bit too high on him need to kind of pump the brakes a bit. I know that you probably have a different stance, but just for me personally, until I see him on a big league field putting up these, you know, pretty impressive seasons like people seem to think he'll do, I just won't believe fully yet.
Pick a date and time and location. I'm going to fight you. Pick it. Because I really like Benintendi.
And you're not alone.
I'm not.
And I'm willing to say, I'll say this
as
well. I'm willing to admit if he ends up being better than I think, which better than I think is if he hits 25 bombs and has like 10 to 15 stolen bases. Like, that's what I think better. And I'll say if he doesn't go with the bombs, if he has 20 or more stolen bases and like 5 to 10 home runs, I will admit that I was wrong. But I don't think he eclipses either of those.
Can we do a little who would you rather have in a vacuum?
Sure.
With Benintendi? All right, let's go with Benintendi or Trey Turner?
That's tough. I'll go Benintendi.
That's what I have. They're ranked back to back on my list. I have Benintendi one spot ahead of him.
But that's just because I'm not that high on Turner.
Sure. Benintendi or Tim Anderson?
Anderson.
Agreed. Benintendi or Victor Robles?
Benintendi, because he is going to make the majors very soon.
I'll go Robles, but I can't argue with your...
Which this makes me sound like I'm going completely off of what I was saying, but that's because it's purely safety-based. Long-term, I would go Robles because I think that he's going to be the better fantasy asset long-term. But overall,
that's why I picked Robles. Yeah, I'm 100% correct on that. Your proximity to the majors and ceiling, again, got to weigh it, you know? They each mean a little bit different to everybody. So,
any others?
Harrison Bader's in AAA now.
Yeah, I don't understand the hair. We'll end on this note. Harrison Bader not making the top 50 midseason list for Baseball Prospectus. I respect and love what those
from
guys
a fantasy
do.
Aspect, he didn't make it, which is crazy to me.
Yeah, I respect everything that they
it's
do there.
It's a great
there,
list.
And
it's better than any other list I've seen. I love that list. I love them guys over there. I love what they do. I aspire to be, you know, on that level someday. But Harrison Bader is a top 30 fantasy prospect for me almost. He's real close. He's definitely top 40.
Yeah, we'll say that. I think he's comfortably top 50 at least going forward. So somebody that I think, you know, we've touched on the punch in this podcast at least. And I think that next year he'll certainly be on the futures game roster in my opinion. And we might even see him.
I think he'll be in the majors.
Yeah, he might be. He very well could be.
He's in AAA now, knocking the door down.
Yeah, I think we will definitely see him in the majors, at least in the second half next year, if not sooner. But I think the second half is probably a safe estimate. So
I love the kid, man. He tore up the SEC, and he's tearing up every league he's played in so far.
Agreed. So, Matt, man, let's wrap this thing up, man. Where can people reach you? What are you working on nowadays?
You can reach me on the Twitter, MDTop24. I'm always updating the prospect lists. I have a running spreadsheet right now of about 500-600 guys ranked, so I have too much time on my hands, evidently. But if you have any questions about guys, who would you rather, please hit me up, or you. Me and Mike will have your prospect needs covered.
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on Twitter, like I mentioned before, at Mike Werner, FWFB. You can check out my daily matchups piece on baseballhq.com on Saturdays. You can check out my Rays updates on Fantasy Pros during the week as well. You can check out the Wednesday show with Matt and myself and Eli Rosenzweig and Justin Mason, our main podcast. And then we have the DFS show that features myself and Cameron Miller on Fridays.
Yes, and please, it's not fantasy baseball related, but check out Justin's article on the Sonoma Stoppers. It's outstanding. It's worth a read, so please do that too.
Yeah, it's based on a couple of women that made the international league. They were the first women to make an international league appearance in a game. So
it's about a thing. It's much bigger than baseball, and it's a really good piece. So check it out.
Agreed. Definitely check that out. Check out everything that we are writing and doing on friendswithfantasybenefits.com. Please sign up for a username and getting in on the forums over there, and just please help us out any way you can. Rate and review the podcast. You can definitely do that on iTunes or Stitcher, any of your podcast aggregators. Please give us a little shout out on there and give us some feedback. That would be awesome. As usual, we are sponsored by officialfantasyrings.com. You can get a fully customizable ring from them and put in the promo code FWFB at checkout and receive 10% off. And with that, we're going to close it out. Thank you very much, everybody, and good luck finding your prospects the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah.
Matt, how about our boy yesterday? Our boys.
Dude.
How about our boys?
Which ones?
Yeah. I mean, Moncada, first and foremost. I mean, like,
Moncada is
legitimately was like, you know what? I'm the best player on this field. And
I don't know if you saw what I tweeted out, but I was Moncada is straight 60s across the board for me. Minimum 70 hit tool. Probably going to be 70 power.
You're taking this eventually. You're taking this to a way too serious place. I just want to say, like, he just nutted over everybody and just killed that.
Him and Bregman, man.
I hope you're already recording.
I am.
him and Bregman, man. And Eloy.
Bregman is so good. Like, a lot of these guys I got to see for, like, the first time other than, like, YouTube clips. And, like, I don't know. I'm impressed with him. Same with Tapia, man. Like, Tapia, even though he has a lot to grow,
people sleep on Tapia, man.
He needs
for fantasy, to grow. He's going to be a monster.
He probably needs another, like, 40 to 50 pounds on him. But as soon as he gets bigger, like, he's going to be really good. As long as he keeps the speed, too. But Moncada,
Did you see that stance
he
has?
Yeah, the crouch. I saw the crouch.
Crazy.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. But
I don't either, but it works, so why change it?